Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks,
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we're joined by the delightful Cameron Esposito to discuss the development of circus skills and when the kid from Two and a Half Men joined Van Halen. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm feeling cool, calm, and collected, Jordan.
Oh, what a nice state of mind. I'm feeling a little ganked up.
Wait, ganked up?
Yeah, you know, a little ganked up.
A little, what does that mean?
I'm just worried that now that Dave Mustaine and Santorum have joined forces,
right,
that like they'll be unstoppable.
Oh, geez, you mean like that Denzel Washington movie?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. I'm afraid that Mustaine another one plus of your... Santorum will be a runaway train.
Everything is a train metaphor to you, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I feel such a kinship with Tony Scott.
Uh-huh.
Because he loves nothing more than a train movie.
Sure.
So that's why him and I are so close.
Sure.
And we grew up in the shadow of our more talented brother.
Sure. Did you see the thing where, look, I'm not going to get into politics, especially because by the time this airs, this news, and by the time people listen to this Dave Mustaine business will be 3 weeks old.
No, sure. It's a little old now when we're talking about it.
But
it is funny though.
did you see that he denied that he had endorsed Rick Santorum?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he denied that he had endorsed Rick Santorum. He said that
I was just talking on shrooms, man.
He said that what was important was that our next president be a Republican.
Oh, okay.
And that it's like you're not really making it better for yourself, Dave Mustaine.
Right.
You're Dave Mustaine. It's not about the Rick Santorum part specifically. Look, different people across this country can have different opinions about Rick Santorum. Some may be positive, some may be negative. I may have my own strong opinions about Rick Santorum. But look, I'm an entertainer, and I'm not going to sit around here saying that you have to have the same opinions about Rick Santorum that I have. But let's just say I'm Dave Mustaine.
Megadeth, formerly of Metallica.
There are certain expectations about general tone that I think I should maintain as a public figure. And those expectations don't involve which Republican candidate I will endorse for president. My concern as someone with a lot of investment in Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, formerly of Metallica, is not a concern regarding various gradations in the Republican candidate pool and which one of them best reflects the Megadeth philosophy. The Megadeth outlook on the world.
Right. Well, I think that can be summed up in their hit song, Killing is My Business and Business is Good. I mean, and what's a more Republican sentiment than that, I ask you? Business. You know, these are the people that create income.
They're trying to make it easy for them. They're trying to create jobs.
Yeah, you give them a tax break, they will create jobs.
Absolutely.
Killing jobs. Jobs in the killing industry.
Sure. Absolutely. Oh, man. Anyway, I just don't think he has as strong a sense of branding as some of his hard rock contemporaries, mm-hmm. like, say, Sammy Hagar, inventor of the Cabo Wabo Cantina.
Mm-hmm. And the Cabo Wabo Tequila.
That's a man who understands what his personal brand represents and what he can go out in public and talk about.
Sure, exactly. Hammocks. Yeah. Here's some things we want to hear from Sammy Hagar about. Hammocks.
So if Dave Mustaine
kicking it poolside
wants to talk about which battle axe he prefers,
sure.
Then
I'll
say,
listen.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I say yes, absolutely. our guest on this week's Jordan Jesse Go program.
The Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar.
She's a stand-up comedian. She comes to us all the way from the city with broad shoulders, Chicago, Illinois. The very funny, very talented Cameron Esposito. Welcome to the program, Cam.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing? That was beautiful. I thought that was...
That was a really intense...
I can see how you're probably, like, intimidated to jump in because that's...
Well,
that
I thought,
was so...
I thought I was going to be Sammy Hagar. When I was speaking, I was...
Oh,
I was
yeah.
weirded out by the
were
my
you
own
can,
voice coming out of my head.
Were you concerned about your drive home and the speed that it might be at?
I was concerned
about... Is
that
Sammy Hagar?
Yeah, I can't drive 55.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
I was definitely concerned about my drive home and whether or not I would be driving 55 because it's a long drive home to Chicago from this podcast, yeah. which I drove in for the podcast.
Right.
Thank
so
you. Thank
like
you,
a
by
lot
the
of,
way.
That's
thank
a
you.
Ton
and you're just,
of
and you're just jumping in the car and turning
investment.
Around, right?
Yeah. No, I'm not even. Yeah, I'm not. I'm walking, actually. I'm walking to my car, which is parked in Chicago. I walked here. I walked.
Nice.
Can I ask you guys one question about Van Halen, the band Van Halen?
Sure. I probably won't have too much to
offer.
But
you will
offer,
know more. You all have more to offer than I do.
Maybe. Go ahead.
So I'm inexpert on matters of rock and roll music. If there's a guitar in it, as far as I'm concerned, it better be going chunka, 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 chunka.
Is that the guitar?
Yeah.
While
a bass plays the melody part, because otherwise I'm not interested in this type of music. But, I seen a picture of the Van Halen band on avclub.com. Our friends from the AV Club, they posted a picture. Van Halen's have a new album out. I think it's like a remix version of the Crystal Pepsi song and some other stuff. I don't know.
It's just like songs about various colas that have gone by the wayside. So like Crystal Pepsi is in there. There's a song about New Coke.
Well, there's some stuff about, to be fair, I mean, it's a two-side album. It's on LP. So mm-hmm. there's one side that's colas. It's got the Virgin Cola thing.
Yeah.
It's got the song about the one with Spiegelman art. What was the cola?
Oh,
with
I don't
the,
know.
Yeah, it was with all the comics artists.
I don't know. Yeah,
a lot of nerds are going to email me.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
A lot of nerds are going to email me about that cola.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the other side is all clearly Canadian stuff. So it's all transparent, defunct transparent beverages.
Nice.
And it comes with a leopard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a live leopard that's wearing a leopard skin vest.
Yes.
Like a purple leopard skin vest, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know, that's a big strategy. Purple. Yeah, that's a big strategy in the record industry today. Is, you know, because people are pirating so much music, you have to make the album collectible, exactly.
Right.
So, you know, things like colored vinyl or like box sets or ferocious jungle cats.
Right, an animal that you have to then raise and take care of. So there's some responsibility there for the music owner also.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And originally they were going to do a civet, but then they figured, why not go big?
Right. Yeah.
You know, why not go all the way?
Well, and it's a good thing if for an older Van Halen fan to teach their kids like about rock music and about caring for a pet and how to be mauled.
So, sure. So I'm going
to
go.
What's a good position to get in when you're being mauled?
You get on
it's
it.
A ball.
You ride it. You ride the. You get on the leopard. Mm. You ride it.
Oh,
the saddle. I'm talking about,
to establish dominance.
Yes, you do.
Well, I guess you and I have very different mauling strategies.
Oh, what would yours be?
Curling into a ball.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and
protect
so
your face.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
not just, me. No, I tame that
you'll
beast.
You'll just jump on that leopard, huh?
Sure, I will.
No,
well,
that's, you know, it's your funeral.
Oh, or my eventual dominance.
Of the leopard.
All
over
leopard
all jungle cats.
You haven't seen me at the zoo.
Cameron, yes. I will jump in that pen, and I will ride whatever fucking animal, endangered or not.
So I need to talk to you guys about this Van Halen album.
Sure.
So I've loaded up for you guys, and folks at home will just have to go to avclub.com and look up the review of Van Halen's new album, which apparently is called A Different Kind of Truth, or by the album cover, I presume it's called Space Train. So here's a picture of Van Halen.
Oh, no, it's actually
Halen.
Called Robot Cock.
Okay. So, from left to right, we've got, I don't know, I guess probably the drummer. Then we've got, I guess that's probably, Sammy Hagar or something. I guess these guys are the singer guys
in
Van
Sammy
Halen.
Sammy Hagar isn't in Van Halen anymore.
No, who's in Van Halen?
Van Halen is.
No, but they got back together with, David Lee Roth.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
David Lee Roth?
Yeah, sure. I know. Yeah, sure. I think there's a there's.
Is
some
it
sort of
David Lee Roth that's back in, or are all three of them? Justin, Justin, our intern is here. He should be looking this up right now. Okay, he is.
Help us out.
I think it's Bill Nighy's character from Love Actually.
Okay, so that's Bill Nighy's character from Love Actually.
Famed British actor.
Yeah, that. Is so, that how you say his last name? I think it is.
That's Eddie Van Halen right there. So working from left to right, this guy in the crazy thing, this is David Lee Roth, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then this guy is Eddie Van Halen, I'm pretty sure. Guitarist for the band Van Halen.
Sure.
And then I'm pretty sure that this is the kid from Two and a Half Men.
Oh, well, that's...
Is that correct?
I think I know this.
That's one of their sons.
It's Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah, it is.
Who's Eddie Van Halen's kid, yeah. Who's like a drum prodigy.
Yep.
And he's also on Two and a Half
that.
Men?
No, that's a different fatso.
Yeah, I think...
That's a different young fatso.
I think
fatso.
You're thinking of Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Wait.
From a couple years
old,
ago.
You're thinking of old Jonah
old
Hill.
Old Jonah Hill. Time-traveling Jonah Hill.
He joined the band in 2006 at the same time that David Lee Roth came
back. Okay. So I'm being told that David Lee Roth rejoined the band in 2006 along with the kid from Two and a Half Men, whose name is Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah. They had to kick Sammy Hagar out because his chill-out habit was getting too intense.
Oh, he was too chill?
He was too chill. Like, his maxing and relaxing was just, like, cutting into rehearsal time.
I understand. Yeah, he had installed that hammock on stage.
Right, and insisted on doing every song from a hammock.
Yeah. He wouldn't sing unless he had a drink with an umbrella in it.
Exactly.
He has pretty gloriously curly hair, yeah?
It is, yeah. It's a red mane.
Not unlike your own curly hair.
Yeah,
Jordan.
He's a little more chill than I am.
So it reflects in like the tightness of the ringlets, or how do you vibe?
How do you reflect that physically?
Yeah, how do you show the amount of chill you are?
Your hair is
well, as
a
I
reflection
said before,
of
I'm a little ganked up.
Right.
All right. Yep.
So
got it.
Generally I'm not that chill.
Uh-huh.
But I can be, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking at that hair. That looks like chill hair.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
It's relaxed hair.
I am chill in the sense that I don't care for my hair. Oh. I mean, I like it. I don't do anything to, keep it healthy or clean.
No, that's not entirely true. You spread cream cheese through it once a week.
Oh, that's true. I
for
do.
For moisturizing.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes sometimes if I've got a hot date, I'll get a cream cheese
You'll
with scallions.
Put some locks.
Yeah, oh, some locks.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, women like the smell of...
I like Jewish women,
you know, like
too.
A salty kind
So I like
of
a, elderly Jewish women.
Yeah, like a sea air sort of a... Kind of like an implied seashell.
Jordan's,
yeah, yeah.
Jordan's dream date is like Elliot Gould, so...
Like late, like Elliot Gould with like a nice rack.
Yeah.
Oh, like how big are what?
Like a busty Gould.
Like a C, like a solid C.
Oh, right.
Elliot Gould with a C is my, you know, it's my number one.
And a beard.
Yeah.
And a full beard.
Well, the beard's on the boobs, right?
Yeah, Elliot Gould with a breast beard.
Yeah. Each one individually. It's not one. It's two. It's two.
Right, and the boobs have glasses on them too, so they look like little old men. Look out, Grandpa. I'm coming in for a kiss, is what I say to them. Gross.
I'm having a hard time following this, Jordan. I'm not going to lie to you.
Listen, Jesse, I think, Cameron, this is easy to follow.
I don't know why you're not.
One of these guys is the kid from Two and a Half Men?
Wolfgang Van Halen. He's Van Halen's son, and it's not the kid from Two and a Half Men. It's time-traveling Jonah Hill. Are you not following
Did
any
you
of this?
Did you see how old he was?
How old is the kid from Two and a Half Men, Justin? Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah,
he's 21 years wasted, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think he gets drunk with his dad?
Oh, I don't know.
Actually, he turns 21 in March.
How much do you
so
love
he's clean and sober.
Somebody being in Van Halen that cannot legally drink? That is too good.
Oh, wow. He's a husky lad, too.
He has to wait outside during
shows. Do you think he has a stretch waistband on his trousers?
Well, you know, if he's anything... Oh, well, I guess David Lee Roth is the one who does high kicks.
Yeah.
He's known for his high kicks.
But I'd like to see Wolfie do a few.
Yeah, well, you know, and also he's behind the drum set too, right?
Is he? Oh, he's the drummer of the band.
Yeah, so, you know, you can wear a basketball short on stage if you're the drummer.
A B-short.
Something blousy. Yeah. You wear something blousy.
He's the bassist?
I like that Eddie Van Halen...
I don't know what he wears then.
Oh. I liked the idea that Eddie Van Halen was having a hard time finding a drummer, so he just made one.
With sperm.
Yeah, like that's the solution to every band's problems. Like, are you sick and tired of putting up flyers in music stores? Why not just put your semen into a lady, have her grow a child to term, and then over the course of 21 years, feed it, take care of it, and teach it to play drums?
The
and then you can take
really
it.
Long. Yeah, that fucking flyer. The longest tear off.
Right.
It says that whole thing. And there's a picture of the woman that's going to. It's the longest tear.
They stretch from one end of Guitar Center
yeah,
to the
sure
other.
They sure do. Yeah, you gotta wind them around your
from the. They stretch all the way from the drum heads to the microphones.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
I'm Cameron Esposito. That sounded. And my voice sounded good. I was doing a lot of.
You're doing some voice kegels.
Yeah, I was.
Vocal kegels.
I have like a beautiful woman's voice. It's just. I mean, not the voice of a beautiful woman. I mean.
Well,
I do have the voice of a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
I'm coming out of this face.
Sure. Right. I mean, yeah.
But I'm talking about.
Let's call a beautiful spade a beautiful spade, shall we?
Put your hat on, Martha May. There's a beautiful lady in the audience.
Yeah.
That's the expression I always use.
It works every time. I love when you say that.
You know that one?
Put on your hat.
Put your hat on, Martha May. There's a
beautiful
woman
lady
in the
audience.
Where does that expression come from?
It comes from vaudeville.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Well, then I love it. Right before somebody gets the hook, they say that.
Yeah. Oh, like back in like the Buster Keaton times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know?
Speaking of
George and
antiquated
Gracie.
Performance, mm-hmm. Cameron, you were saying before we started that you are also a circus ringmaster, and you
that's
said it
not true.
Very casually.
Yeah,
but
you said that like that's a real thing that people are.
Yeah, no, I am that. That's what I am.
Tell us
that's
what you're
doing.
How did you get into ringmastering, and what are your duties as ringmaster?
My duties are I have to wear sparkly lipstick that somebody else puts on me because I can't actually apply makeup.
Is that just because you're a lesbian?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Is that like a
I
contract?
I refuse to learn.
When you
and
say
it gets
you know how
to my
you,
face,
you know
okay.
how you
then
know
you guys
how to do it, but there's a contract.
No,
that
no,
you signed.
I can't get it to stay on my. If I wear a lipstick, I just end up kind of awkwardly. It was part of your
admission agreement at Sarah Lawrence.
Like a ventriloquist dummy. I did. It was part of my. Yeah, I mean you have to. Well, when you get your vest.
Right.
They take away your. You have to look at a very specific
right.
direction.
Sure.
There's a flashing light, and the
sure.
and the light is
sure
vaginal. It's
right.
Wow.
It's kind of a vaginal.
It's a
light.
Vaginal light.
Yeah, well, because there's a void, you know,
sure.
kind of an emptiness.
Sure, absolutely. Sure.
I'm a circus. So, and then I have to wear an elaborate coat.
Wait,
and then
what kind of circus is this?
It's acrobats, not animals. People ask that.
Okay.
If there's dangerous animals, no,
so
no.
So when you were talking
those,
about when
that's
you were,
for Van,
when
that's
you were talking
for,
about riding a cheetah, that's just recreational.
Yeah, no, that's not. I wouldn't do that to one that was tamed or
right.
you know cared for by Russians. I would only
right.
do it. One that I've seen in the wild, and
yeah.
we looked at each
like
other.
Like on a weekend.
Yeah. Right, sure. Like the Wild is the name of a lesbian bar, actually, here in Los
Angeles. That has a cheetah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
A lot of your douchier straight bars in L.A. will have like a mechanical bull.
Right.
You know, so the girls will get a little drunk. They'll get on the mechanical bull. Maybe their top
they'll
will come
off.
You
right
can see their undies.
Yeah.
You know, right. Yeah, right into, yeah. right in,
the,
yeah.
Right onto a boner.
Right onto a boner, right. Yes.
You have a sophisticated understanding of heterosexual dating and nightlife.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, it's like you trick a woman or you try and trip her up somehow so she accidentally hits your boner.
When yeah. does she? When
that's
is the
actually
chest hair involved?
That's actually how I had my child Simon.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I tricked my wife into accidentally hitting my boner. Uh-huh.
Here's
and
what.
Nine
here's,
months
and
later,
here's my dating strategy. I've bought a box of ball bearings, and I hang out outside like a used bookstore
uh-huh.
with like a slippery sort of like a. Kind of like a banana peel, sort of a slippery sort
I've
of
I've tried banana peels, but it just seemed hack to me.
Got it. All
I
right.
thought the ball bearings kind of were like classic. They were sleek.
What about a used condom? Think about that.
Oh.
Slippery. Also.
I was already
How
thinking
will I
about
use the condom, though, if I don't have the lady?
No, no, it's somebody else's. It's somebody
oh,
else's.
Oh, like
You've
a homeless
just
guy.
Gotten it. Some, you just, I don't know
yeah.
how you got it. I'm not sure how you have it.
Okay.
But you have it in your hand.
Okay.
You're
yeah.
holding it.
I could use a used condom to trip a lady who then falls onto my boner. Yeah, sure.
I say use the ball bearing. I think your clean, modern aesthetic thing is a really convincing argument. I think it's sort of like a Palm Springs, mid-century modern.
Sort of an IKEA, even. Yeah. Like if you, depending on how, if the ball bearings are like hollow.
And what's nice is you can actually get them at IKEA. You can get a box of 5,000 for $4.99, and that way you get lingonberry jam.
And some cheap batteries while
Swedish
you're there.
Yeah. Balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ball bearings to trip sex a woman.
Is that really? It's been a while. It's been like a couple years. I don't.
Yeah. That actually is how.
Remember.
Yeah.
If that's true.
Yeah. That's how it
I've
works.
I've seen movies.
Right.
With
You've
like
got
Brad
mail.
Pitt or something in it. Yeah. But that's not in that movie.
Right.
I don't know. I just.
Right.
I thought it was about like writing.
So
letters.
You're in this lesbian circus. Am I remembering the story correctly?
It's all lesbians.
Right.
Wait, so you've got an elaborate coat.
Some of them
when
are
you say
straight
elaborate,
people.
When you say elaborate coat, what does that entail?
Epaulettes. You know what I mean? Epaulettes.
Technicolor.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, epaulettes and.
Is this
and
a waking coat
buttons?
Or a dream coat?
It's a dream coat. For uh-huh. Sure. Well, when Donny Osmond wears it, it's a dream
is this
coat.
Something Michael Jackson might have worn in the late 1980s and early 1990s?
If he was just a little bit bigger. I'm uh-huh. like probably, if scale-wise, I'm yeah. not a large person, but I'm probably two Michael Jacksons.
Uh-huh.
If you were to measure.
That's the system they still use in the UK.
It is. It's yeah. a UK
they
system.
They always wonder why Americans are the only ones who don't switch to the Jackson system.
Yeah. Right. Right. Europeans.
Give me three Jacksons for a farthing,
right,
you'll
right.
say.
Europeans usually only 1 or 1.5 Jacksons, but Americans
right.
are
right.
Like
I'll
a,
take two
like
Tito's of ale, please. Mm-hmm. Can I have a LaToy of cider? So you've got
circus
epaulettes,
life, mm-hmm. big time, yeah, big, yeah, circus life. Yeah, sometimes there's a big top. Most of the time, we work in a warehouse in Chicago, like an abandoned warehouse, and there's a circus in there.
It doesn't sound abandoned.
So,
this is
well,
not actually
right.
an abandoned
so
warehouse.
Can I just say
you're
it's
not?
Abandoned.
It's not. You're paying to be
you're not
there.
Training henchmen
Guys,
in there. You,
come on,
Jesse. Let her say it's an
just
abandoned
let me
warehouse.
Say
is there
it's
any
fun
cocaine
for
in
her.
There?
There's no. I mean, only the stuff we bring in.
Right.
Right. The circus coke.
Yeah. Only the kind we give out to the audience so that they think it's a great show.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And so they clean up after themselves afterwards.
They are energized. They get really into acrobatics. Yeah. They can't believe it.
So do you have any circus skills yourself, or is it just ring mastering? Can you tumble? Can you juggle?
I can have somebody stand on my shoulders.
Okay.
I can base a too high. How does that sound?
Ooh.
That's true.
Basing a too high.
I can also base a flag, mm-hmm. which is when somebody like hangs off of your neck like a flag.
That's when someone takes a flagpole yeah. and shoves it into your upper back.
Yeah, that's right.
So basically your main skill is being able to stand still and rigid.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yeah,
great.
While women climb on me.
That's
so
how
I
impregnated
that,
my yes. life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Standing very still
it's
and rigid.
The same thing. Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing. I can stand still and rigid, and I can also talk out of my face. That's what I'm most valuable for.
Oh, nice.
Strangely, these circus people can like hang from their necks, or they can juggle chainsaws, but they don't like to talk in front of people.
Yeah, they like to let their acrobatics do the talking.
That's right. Not strange, yeah. Cameron.
No, you're right.
Just like Wolfgang Van Halen likes to let his tasty bass licks do the talking.
You say that as though you haven't met people who are interested in developing circus skills. Look, I went to an arts high school. I've met people who like circus skills. I'm not surprised that they don't want to talk to people.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
They just want to do their devil sticks or put their legs behind their heads.
And have huge upper bodies.
Or casually ride a unicycle.
Yeah,
just around.
Just ride
as
around
a mode of
on
transportation.
A unicycle as though that's a thing.
Have you met circus girls, though? It sounds like what you're describing are circus guys.
These
God
are, yes,
love them.
Yes.
I want everyone to know. I'm in favor of circus guys.
Sure.
Circus guys are always a little bit weirder than circus girls.
Really?
Circus girls can be like kind of normal.
But normal for circus world.
I mean, I'm not. This is
you're
not
just
a,
saying that because here's the thing, Cameron.
Let me hear
I'm gonna,
the thing.
I'm going to let
tell
you
the thing.
Tell us the thing about Circus Girls.
Because you prefer ladies romantically to gentlemen.
That's not what lesbianism
is. I'm gonna let you slide. Because you come from the Greek island of Lesbos.
That's what it is. I'm interested in men.
I am gonna let you slide on this thing about circus girls being less weird than circus guys, because I can understand that if I was surrounded by circus girls in a professional environment and they were all going around doing stretches.
Say you're trapped in a van.
And
it's a 14-passenger van.
Yeah.
8 female circus performers.
You're headed, I don't know, Vermont.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm romantically interested in my beautiful wife.
Sure.
But in a context in which I was romantically interested in someone other than my
beautiful
wife.
And I'm interested
wife.
In clumsy female Jews who look like Elliot Gould.
Yeah. So if I weren't married, I would be interested in ladies rather than fellas. And if I was in a van full of circus performers and half of them were dudes and half of them were ladies, I would be making up reasons in my head why the ladies were less insufferable than the guys. Because the guys would be sitting there fucking juggling or doing handstand push-ups or whatever the fuck it is that these people do, and the ladies would be putting their legs behind their head or whatever, and I would be talking myself into thinking, I'd be like, well, I mean, that's all right, you know, sure, there's something weird happened at some point to this woman that drove her into a vagabond nightmare life. But I'm part of this now, too. I signed up for this because of my gift of gab. Again, I'm in your position. I'm probably a talking person. Yeah. You know, it's a good gig. You know, it's fun. Get out there, make a few circus jokes, try and convince people that clowns are funny.
We have no clowns.
Oh, thank God.
It's a clown-free situation.
Yeah, no clowns.
That's good. Because people doing acrobatics is a lot more impressive than clowns are entertaining.
Well, and the other thing is, listen, Jesse.
Yeah.
Everything you've said is right. I do agree with your summary.
Right.
But I want to add to it that I have a particular penchant for tough chicks.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Right.
I mean, if we could stop right now, if we could stop this podcast and please go see Haywire.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
hey.
I don't know what I'm doing here, honestly.
Sure. Like, when Haywire is in theaters.
Since that's still a movie
that
exists that I've already seen. You know, like, since that. Or since
I mean, I'm
Death Proof, like, I could have brought that movie with me and we could have done.
We could just be watching that on a portable DVD player.
We could be watching it on my phone. We could be watching the chase scene. We could be watching Zoe Bell hang on.
Right.
She hangs right on. She doesn't fall off for a second. She not even, you know, the gloves.
Tough as nails.
You understand what I'm saying? If you wanted to watch Terminator 3, these are the things I'm interested in. I'm interested in female Terminators. And people that are similar to female Terminators.
Sure.
So when
you like a woman with an exoskeleton.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Well, a mechanical exoskeleton.
Yeah, or endo. Like endo too.
Oh, right.
Endo or exo, like whatever whatever kind of skeleton, like a skeleton, just a kind of a metallic.
A mechanical,
sort of a
mechanical framework.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like I guess exoskeleton would be on the outside.
Right. Like an endo or exo, depending on which model of Terminator you're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is this a T-800 or is this a T-1000? Let's not split hairs.
Right. But we could split hairs.
Wait,
laser beam on.
Which one of these? Which one of these ladies is the kid from Two and a Half Men?
That's Wolf Terminator. Yeah. That's T1 Wolfgang.
Yes.
I don't know. Sorry. So you're into it. You're like a tough lady.
So I don't. That's not even always who I date. But like
right.
I can. I
right.
think I want
sure.
to be that.
Just right.
Like I want to just when you're hearing me talk, if you don't imagine my voice surrounded by a leather jacket,
right.
I'm doing everything wrong. So.
Right.
You've
perpetually got a pack of cigarettes rolled up in your sleeves.
Yeah, and I don't smoke at all, but it's just on my arm.
You got the pack there.
I tucked it right in.
Because you're trouble.
Incision.
These girls can do a lot of push-ups.
They can do a lot of push-ups. They can do, and they're beautiful. Like, they somehow have figured out how to have giant arm muscles and beautiful faces at the same time. And please, I'd like to know how.
Right.
To do that.
So that's what I'm saying. The diagnosis complete.
So on that same kick, let me ask you this, and I definitely don't want you to speak.
I about to answer on behalf of all lesbians?
No.
Dang it!
I know. Yes.
I always love when you
on behalf. What do lesbians think about Dave Mustaine endorsing Rick Santorum? Just some. I imagine the world.
Number one, most lesbians are big Rick Santorum fans.
I think so. I think
let's start with that.
He's got a platform that
it's
lesbians
not a monolithic,
can get
behind. It's women, not a monolithic gay, community.
Gay women, you know what I mean? That's if you really break it down. That's what lesbians are. Gay women.
That's what we call. That's what we call the Santorum sweet spot.
Yeah. The intersection of women and gay.
Yeah. Yeah. So most gays like him, and most women like him, right. But. Definitely most gay women like him because he likes them
right
a lot. Let me ask you this. So I guess I envision the world of the modern, you know, hipster hippie circus as being maybe similar to the Ren Fair or something like that, where there's maybe a lot of internal hooking up. Like when you are on tour with the circus, is there a lot of inter-circus drama?
That's a good question. You know, a lot of people do duo acts, like husband and wife teams.
Yeah.
Because as a circus performer, you thrive on contracts at specific circuses or specific shows in different countries. I'm going to give you the most serious answer to this question.
I would love it.
Because it's
please.
Fascinating.
Thank you.
So they will come up with duo acts, and then they are a husband and wife team that also like run up and down a pole for a living, and then you book them, and they get to travel together.
Okay.
So, yes, there is a lot of romance. And then entire lives and acts are built on that romance.
Or like a boy and his war horse.
That's exactly what I... That's the description. Yes. Wait. So the woman is the... War horse. Because if so,
yeah, like
then
in the
that's
movie
the
War.
Kind of woman I'm into. That's what
like,
I'm trying
right,
to
say. Right, a horse-like
you.
Woman. Yeah, like you're into a centaur.
Yeah, I'm into a little bit of a, like, it's, you know, just gleaming, shiny, I've brushed her muscles.
Yeah. You really got to watch this movie, War Horse. This is going to be.
That horse is sexy.
You it's, are going
to
be.
It's hang. The horse in War Horse is hanging on to this muscle car.
Yeah.
Driven by Kurt Russell. It's hot. So I guess so, and you may not know the answer to this, but what happens in the husband-wife pole-climbing duo when, you know, the wife is caught, you know, with you know, the seal boy or the guy who guesses weight or
yeah, that's a really...
what happens to the act? I mean, you
or
said
the unicorn.
Yeah.
Acts do break up, and new performers come into old acts.
Oh.
I've seen that happen. Mm. I've seen, like, this used to be her act.
I've got a new pole partner.
Yep.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
pole
it's
partner.
Just...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just
dick.
I like that you guys made eye contact right after that joke, and then you just looked at each other.
Okay.
For, like, a long time.
Pole.
Yeah.
Well, we have dicks.
Yeah, no,
I
also...
Congratulations.
Not here.
Wow.
Yeah. It's back in Chicago. It's a deep dish.
Can't travel with that.
Deep dish.
Deep dish.
I don't know what that means. Chicago has deep
gross.
Dish pizza, right?
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun.
Well.
What's your favorite thing in the circus?
Oh, my favorite thing is, God, that's a really crazy question. The costumes, I guess. And also the makeup. These gals wear crazy costumes and makeup. They look beautiful. And I have a friend that... She spins by her neck 30 feet in the air. That's her job.
Her neck?
Mm-hmm. Like she puts a noose around her head, but back. Like if you could think about it going around the outside of
I
your neck.
I can't think of that.
As opposed
because
to
it's upsetting.
The inside of your neck.
Wow.
And then she spins real fast. And she has fringe on her costume. So you know how that goes. Fringe.
Now you put a little fringe on a horse. And
yeah.
And I'm pretty much
that's
in.
A pretty wary horse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A pretty hoary horse.
Yeah. Was waiting for that to and
yeah.
You did it
and then I did it.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
You yeah. Know, good for me.
We have fun talking.
What's
about
your favorite thing about the circus? Do you ever go?
I liked. My dad loves the circus.
Awesome.
And he loves. Well, I mean, he loves all circuses. Frankly, he loves like Ringling Brothers. He's not. He is not like a, he is a circus traditionalist. So he loves Ringling Brothers. He loves the animal acts and shit. He loves clowns. He loves everything. He also will love like a single ring circus, like a low renter circus.
Yeah.
I don't think he really gives a shit about like an artsy circus. You know, you start your Canadian type circuses, or your Frenchy type circuses, your French Canadian type circuses, it starts to get a little more questionable. But Justin, our intern's from Canada, he knows what I'm talking about. You know, I think...
Have you ever taken him to see an artsier circus? Not, I'm not actually talking about Cirque du Soleil.
I should like explain that my dad is an artsy man.
Uh-huh.
I should mention that. I don't want people to think that my dad works down at the steel mill. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with working down at the steel mill, but I just don't want to paint an inaccurate picture of my father. My father is a very, he likes to sit around the house reading Henry Miller or whatever. When, you know, popping a boner, but,
sure.
he just likes circuses where, you know, shit's going down. So he took me to the circus a lot as a kid, like a fuck fest.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
The thing that I liked at the circus, though, frankly, motorcycle of Globe of Death.
Oh, you can't fight that. I mean, clearly we've already covered that that's something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Any sort of motorcycle Globe of Death, right there with you.
There was a while... where there's a little bit where I enjoyed on the Yelp app on the iPhone, you could check into places,
yes.
And then you could become the Duke or the Duchess of that place.
Right.
And there was a while where, you know, it was fun to like try and become the Duke of something. But there's the lady who was the Duchess of the most stuff in my neighborhood. I didn't know her, but her little avatar was very, very cute. She had like this dyed red hair and was really outrageous and clearly like, you know, went out every night of the week. And I like, you know, I developed this little thing for this woman who was this Duchess of like everything in my neighborhood. And it went.
Jordan had a crush on a girl from Yelp.
Yeah. I totally had a crush on a Yelp avatar.
Yeah. Like a knighted. Like
and I just like imagine that, like, you know, I'm sure we would, if we ever, you know, we clearly are in the same vicinity, we're in the same circle. If we ever ran into each other, I'm sure it would be just magic. But then the thing that kind of set it over the edge was I saw that she went to Cirque du Soleil and just her review of it was go on shrooms, yo.
So then you were not interested after
and
that?
Then you know I kind of thought then that's when she kind of reached a kind of unattainable status.
Got it.
You know, that's when I'm like, okay, we're clearly playing on different diamonds,
right?
I'll just admire you, your little picture from afar.
Sure. This ain't no pizza review situation.
No.
This ain't no bike repair place.
No.
Those are expensive tickets.
I know.
And that's an expensive drug habit.
Absolutely. So
Gunther Gabriel.
What do I?
She's got dollars.
Like, yeah, for a woman who's you know activity, who one of her favorite activities is shrooming at Cirque du Soleil. What do I have to offer her?
I don't think there's much you can bring. Well, I mean, the companionship of a, you know, like a just being there with her and telling her
like, hey,
how
it's
to
okay
exit,
yeah,
how to exit
liquids
the circus when she's done.
Here's a banana,
stay there,
yeah,
you know?
Just take her to chill out in the lobby if it gets to be too much for her.
Sort of a tethering,
yeah,
you
I
know?
Guess I could be like a shroom companion,
tetherball. Mm-hmm. You can
a shroom
tetherball with her.
Yeah, you play a little tetherball with her.
Sure.
Yeah.
nothing a lady on shrooms likes more than a little bit of tetherball.
Honey, I know you think the devil is talking to you. Let's just play a little tetherball, get it out of your system. It's okay, baby. And I rub her back. No, but then I got a new phone, and the new phone's Yelp app. I got a Windows phone, and the Yelp app on Windows phone does not allow you to check in. So we've, you know,
you
so that part of my life.
You guys broke up,
We
huh?
did. We had to break up because of OS. Yeah. An OS incompatibility.
You're no longer the Duke of your neighborhood. Now you're the Dowager Countess.
Yes, exactly. I'm now the footman of Whole Foods.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jessica. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Miss Cameron Esposito here.
I I have two important updates that I want to offer to our listeners, because there's things that there's like ways that I connect with our audience and really deeply, and that I feel like I need to check in with them once in a while on these subjects.
Sure.
First of all, Satsumas. I get a lot of Satsuma-related mail, just an astonishing amount of Satsuma-related mail. Satsuma, if you don't know, you're from the frozen wasteland of Chicago, Illinois.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't really...
You don't have any vegetation there, right? Like, all like plants just die as soon as they get there?
Oh, yeah, no, there's no plants or...
Yeah, you just have deep dish pizzas.
Yeah, and no culture.
Yeah, just sausages.
And, yeah, all the
You have a lot of
fat.
Different types of
it's
brats.
It's just one kind of fat person.
A lot of different like brats, though.
Yeah, one fat person on a top of a mound of brats.
Applebee's owns Chicago now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's now Applebee's Presents Chicago.
Yeah, it's a small suburb of New York.
So here's the thing. I have heartily endorsed Satsumas, and I'm not going to sit here and withdraw my endorsement of Satsumas, because Satsumas continue to be a spectacular citrus fruit. They're easy to peel.
What do they even look like?
They're small. They're bumpy.
It's an orange. It's for it's tiny, like seedless orange.
What?
It's a delicious little fruit. So the Satsuma is a wonderful thing. I'm sorry that you live in Chicago. You may never get access to it.
Yeah.
I was just talking with my friend Claire Zulke from the AV Club. She was a Chicagoan. Can't find Satsumas for the life of her because she lives in the
She's
frozen.
A friend of mine, you know that?
Frozen wasteland. Well,
yeah. We
you guys can talk about how you can't find any Satsumas.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for all the Midwesterners who send me emails. I can't find any Satsumas. You know, that sucks for you. You know, should move to a fucking better place. You know, enjoy your $200 rent or whatever it is.
It's $5. They pay you $5.
You get paid $5 to live in a mansion on Lake Michigan.
You do, yeah. With Michael Jordan. He's there.
And instead of water, the taps pour blue cheese dressing, right?
Which is delicious because
it's
so fattening.
Yeah, you know? It's really
that's
good.
That's the secret to blue cheese.
That's what Chicagoans
so,
like.
So... Again, I'm not here to disavow Satsumas because they continue to be fucking tremendous. However, I may have found a citrus that tops the Satsuma. It's called the Decopon. Now, I know what you're saying. Decopon, Jesse, you just made this one up. And it's true. It does sound like something that I made up. It's being marketed in the United States as a sumo in a lot of places. If you've already tried a Satsuma, it actually looks a lot like a Satsuma, only it's about the size of a navel orange. So it has the same kind of lightish mid-orange color and sort of weirdly bumpy texture. Like it looks like a sort of like a reject. It's not smooth. But it is as big as a navel orange. You know, it's like fist-sized or a little bit bigger. This thing is a Japanese orange. Thank you to Justin, who's shown us a picture, our intern
picture.
Justin.
Yeah.
It has a big bump
seen
on
those.
The top.
It's like an orange and a gourd.
It looks like an alien egg. It looks like like in the
movie
in the James
aliens.
Cameron Aliens, what the spider jumps out of and sucks under your face.
I believe you mean face hugger.
Excuse me, the face hugger. I didn't want to... Wait, who am I kidding? Yes, this is the audience that I can... I apologize that I said spider thing.
This thing has been around in Japan and Korea for quite some time now. I think 15 years or
Cameron,
something like
I'm
that.
Sorry I said the wrong name for the thing that creates the xenomorph.
I
wanted to reestablish my credibility.
Space jockey.
Sure.
Okay. Would you guys please stop having a little
not a
fucking
prequel.
Nerd
we
contest? Because you know who's going to get the emails when you get some little part of it wrong? It's not you. It's me.
Forward them to me. We don't have email in Chicago, though. You're going to have to send it to me on a citrus fruit.
You're gonna have to you're gonna have to shove it inside of a potato skin
in Chicago.
Melt cheese on the top, add bacon bits, and that's the only way the Chicago
and then serve
post
it
office
in a deep dish crust.
Right.
In,
yes.
In Chicago, Christmas stockings still just have a single orange in them.
They sure.
They go, oh my God, fresh fruit in the middle of winter.
I know, I can't believe it myself.
And then you peel the orange. Oh, ham.
Yeah.
Ham inside.
So,
psych.
This Decopon, aka Sumo, this thing's the best thing since fucking sliced bread. It's been around in Japan and Korea for a long time. There was this secret importation of this thing into California like 7 or 8 years ago. If you Google this thing, Decopon, you can read about how it was secretly imported into California because it takes a long time.
Did people smuggle them over in their butts?
Yeah, basically. But it takes a long time to grow one of these trees. You know what I mean? Like to get it to the point where it bears fruit.
Sure.
You know, it takes 7 or 8 years.
Like a woman.
So they... Exactly. I don't think that you have a sophisticated understanding also of...
Yeah, no, trust me. I do. That's what me and Rick Santorum both believe about women.
Right.
They need 8 years to
You got
mature,
that from that birth control panel.
And then they have
panel.
To have babies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
of course they're cut down and made into kindling.
That's right. That's right.
So it took 8 years of secret growing. This consortium of growers here in Southern California grew these things secretly for 8 years without telling anyone because they wanted to keep it. They didn't want anyone else in the United States to grow them. They have the exclusive rights to grow them.
That's you.
Isn't that crazy?
Exclusive fruit rights.
That's a real thing.
I cannot believe that's a real thing.
Okay, so...
Are there fruit lawsuits? Fruit suits, if you will?
There are fruit suits.
Fruit suits.
It seems wrong, but it's true. So if you... This is just a fucking warning out there to anybody who wants to have their life changed by a fruit. Fuck with these Decopons, my friends.
Are they seedless?
Yeah.
So you can get them here in...
You can get them in California.
And now these people,
and I bet
are
you
they
can,
supplying
I bet you can
the...
get them if you live in a cool place like New York or something.
Yeah, okay, right. Sure.
No offense, other
no,
people.
No, no, I mean...
Look, Chicago's a beautiful city. If it wasn't a frozen wasteland, everyone would live in Chicago. Then it wouldn't be so affordable.
Guys got that bean.
We do have that. That is our... You're thinking of our mayor.
Yeah, yeah.
We call him the bean.
You got
He's
that
shiny.
You got all that beautiful architecture.
Yeah, guys.
Batman was filmed there, as everyone in Chicago will tell you 3 times a day.
Chicago is great. I have
Chicago
to say,
is great.
I hate going to New York or LA and telling people I live in Chicago because
it's a frozen wasteland.
No,
and you have to hear about what a frozen wasteland it is.
Overalls, like I can't even describe. And we
no, Chicago is great in every way, other than the fact that it's a frozen wasteland 5 months out of the year and an insufferable nightmare oven 4 months out of the year.
That's what makes the people strong.
It's true. You they're know? Hardy.
That's what makes them so angry.
Can I ask? Can I ask a fruit?
Very pleasant.
Can I ask a fruit?
Chicago is a fucking beautiful, wonderful city.
Yeah.
In all sincerity. Love. A beautiful city.
Love my town.
Can I ask?
I'm going to get out of there pretty soon. Hey, see you later, guys.
Makes your body hurt when you go outside for much of the year, but
yeah,
a beautiful city.
I mean, and real low ceiling on the entertainment industry. You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
You could host a web series
top.
For abclub.com.
I could not be higher.
You could have a one-line part in Batman.
Oh,
that
know,
wasn't already
didn't
completed.
They actually take the third Batman away from Chicago? Didn't they film the third Batman somewhere else, like Pittsburgh or something?
I don't know. I don't have the. I'm not on the
Where?
Inside
so
loop
just
on
all
it.
Over the place. It is in Chicago, but it's also in Pittsburgh and New York City. It's everywhere.
Justin
guys,
says it's all over
but
everywhere.
I don't think that it matters because we had Transformers. So.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you know, the last time I was in Chicago, they were filming a Transformers movie there, and there was a lot of fake rubble
There's
in
carnage
the streets.
All over the
yeah,
place.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Cars
like
sticking out of
other cars. Styrofoam rubble.
Yeah, it's true.
It was very funny. Can I ask a fruit etiquette question?
Well, they shot Sister Act and Sister Act 2 near my house when I was growing up, so suck on that.
I can't believe you ever moved away from there.
Yeah,
you
should have
just imported, what are these called, Decopons? Imported your Decopons to that house.
Sorry, Jordan.
Fruit etiquette question.
Yeah.
So if you work in an office, taking a piece of fruit into an office is not a big deal. I mean, you know,
right.
Take a pear into the office. Take a, you know, take an orange.
Right.
Nobody's going to look at you sideways for that, right?
No.
If I'm in an office situation, can I eat a pomegranate at my desk? Can I tear open a pomegranate and pick out the seeds like an ape? Because I am to the point now where I love pomegranates. I will eat 3 pomegranates a week.
That's because you don't eat sugar.
Yeah, exactly. And it really, to borrow a phrase from the last podcast, just really flicks my bean. It's really just...
You got to get with these decoupons, Jordan.
Well, here's the thing, though. I like the taste of the pomegranate, but I also like the rending of it. I like the kind of primal...
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is it might show your boss or whoever you're working next to that you're like an industrious worker.
Right.
Because that is the stupidest... food
pomegranates
in the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, it takes so much work and you get zero, almost nothing.
Yeah, you're not less hungry after
like
you eat all the seeds.
Like a slightly delicious taste.
Yeah.
And it's not even, you know, super, it's just slightly delicious. It does look beautiful and it's very satisfying to go ahead and put those seeds right in your mouth. But look at what that shows to the people right around you. And you're just like, I'm undeterred. I'm good at the little things. You
don't
know, pay attention
to details. Don't fuck with me or I will tear open your head and eat the goo inside.
Is that, you think that's part of it? Yeah,
you know what you should get, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm not against that. That's
you know what I think
violent.
You should get? A cherimoya.
What's that?
That's like, it's like a sort of like a, it's like a mango or something like that, but it's got a scaly exterior and a custardy interior.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, that's something you can really fucking teach people a lesson with your eating of.
Yeah.
It's a real threat.
Right through the scales to the custard.
A real threat food.
Yeah, but do you guys think a pomegranate is too gross to eat in mixed company or in an office situation?
I find that I get the juice all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's
can
a messy
you
thing too.
That?
No, absolutely. No, I get it all over myself.
Yeah,
Jordan, so you're a writer.
And then I pet my cat, and then I get him on the yeah, get it on the cat.
I mean, I think that I find that there's this thing where when I go have a meeting with a Hollywood person, they have a hard time.
Grazer, for instance.
Yeah, like when I have
Let's
one of my
Brian
many
Grazer.
Lunch meetings with Brian
Hollywood
Grazer.
People. Yeah.
Like if I go visit Berg, that's what I call Steven Spielberg.
That's racist.
Yeah, I call him that because he's black.
Okay.
Yeah.
The man's name is Papa Warhorse.
When I go in with meet with some Hollywood person or other, I can always tell that they're concerned. They're concerned that I'm not talented. Because I seem like my life is together. Like I have an exterior appearance of a person whose shit is who's on top of his shit. I think that this could only benefit you as a creative person.
Yeah, looking like a disheveled, stained,
yeah,
wild man
Got
who
it.
Rips open fruit
Just,
with his hands.
Yeah, your hands are inky with,
yeah.
with the blood of this fruit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is kind of, yeah. I don't disagree with that. And you should be late, too. Show up late and then be like, I'm sorry I had to eat this fruit.
I have to leave in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and then, like, put
it.
A timestamp on it. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should be. Maybe I do try and clean myself up too much when I. Maybe my, you know.
No, I don't. I didn't say that.
Yeah,
Jordan, let's not go over
let's
the
not,
top.
Let's
here.
Not. Let's not go nuts. But maybe my lack of. Maybe I should really just go over into disheveled wild man territory if I want to be more successful.
I mean, you can't be a crazy genius if you're not crazy.
That's true.
You can only be.
Yeah.
You know, regular functional.
It's a really good point. I mean, I think that just like last week on the show, when we heard about how some people have that special secret power of having people around them want to defend them and help them, I think the crazier you seem to go along, I mean, you're a very talented man. I don't think anyone would deny that you're a talented man. I think if you seem like the kind of madman who would tear into a bloody fruit at his desk, other people around you will want to tend to your talent rather than asking you to be the guy who does the paperwork.
That's a good point. Also, if you're such an untamed fruit eater, you know, maybe you're the kind of person that could come up with a really great sitcom.
Yeah.
Idea, because you're just an idea person.
Sure.
You thought of the idea to bring a pomegranate.
I mean, I think my situation is I've got them. No one's asking, and maybe that's because I don't look crazy enough.
For sure.
Yeah.
I would wear a tie right around your head. Tie it around your head like Rambo style.
Should I poop myself?
That's kind of unclean.
I mean,
I don't know if people want.
Yeah, might consider peeing in a jar or a jug.
That's better. Mm-hmm. Carry your own urine with you because that's sanitary.
Yeah, or just buy some urine. I mean, you don't actually have to do it. It seems like it wouldn't be unpleasant to do that. So you could just buy some urine. maybe for one of those drug test, fake a drug test type situations in the back of High Times.
Right.
You know? Or just...
Maybe I should be always carrying around a High Times with me.
Yeah.
Like some people carry a newspaper under their arm.
Yeah. Or that urine, that like that whole urine setup in Gattaca. Do you remember that?
I have not seen Gattaca.
Oh my God. Well, it's there's a really elaborate urine setup because...
Tell me about it.
People are just...
I am all ears.
People are just judged on different things in the future.
Okay.
I like this carrying around a High Times thing, though. I like the idea of you being like an old-timey newspaperman or like a guy who goes into the office. So I like you in a three-piece suit, you know, a nice trilby on your head maybe with a feather in it, but also, it, you know, brogues, long-wing brogues on your feet, High Times under your arm.
And then... If you have to go into a like a thrift store or something like that, you have to check your High Times at the counter and get like a little paper clip where they put that.
Right, exactly.
You know, they don't want you to...
Like, oh, number 42, that's yeah. my High Times. That's my, yes, that's my High Times August 2011 yeah. interview with Violent J.
Or like sometimes
and
you valet it.
Lil Shaggy.
Yeah.
Am I getting the Insane Clown Posse names right? Violent J, Lil Shaggy?
Shaggy 2 Dope.
Shaggy 2 Dope. Violent J.
Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope. The Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
Popular clown rappers.
I know. I know lots of... Do you know how sometimes they have comics that go out to the Gathering of the Juggalos?
Yeah. I mean, like a Brian Posehn goes out there and, I don't know, Earthquake?
So, also, there are some Chicago comics that Hannibal... Burris has done it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking someone we know has gone out and done that. Uh-huh.
I mean, you work in a circus capacity. Are you just trying? Is this just like the little leagues or like AAA to hope to go to the big leagues, which is the Gathering of the Juggalos?
Well, you know, Rick Santorum and the Insane Clown Posse, I think both are pretty on board with lesbians.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just from like a respect.
Sure. Well, I mean, they had Tila Tequila, who's a famous lesbian activist, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're open
I'm
to it.
I'm just imagining Tila Tequila on, like, I Love the 90s or something like that. At one of those talking head shows, it just says Tila Tequila and then underneath lesbian activist. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Cameron Esposito, regular person.
Just standard.
Your standard issue.
This is
Cameron Esposito.
This is thing number two.
The base model. You don't have a spoiler.
No,
you don't have XM satellite radio.
I don't even have AC.
Yeah.
Now that I've addressed the...
manual windows.
Crank.
Hey, like
crank.
A girl with manual windows.
Now that I've addressed the Decopon, there's one other thing I need to address.
Okay.
And this is something that I've just been concerned about lately, and I wanted to give it some time for American audiences to catch up before I addressed it. Mm-hmm. And that is this. A year and a half or so ago, I introduced a lot of our listeners to a wonderful television program called Downton Abbey. One of my favorite shows.
You imported it from England up your butt.
I did. Yeah.
You brought it.
I put it in a condom.
And you've been...
You swallowed it.
You've been brewing
You swallowed
it
the DVDs.
7 years. Yeah.
The master beta tapes.
Yeah.
Of the first 7 episodes.
Yeah. The Mr. Bates master betas.
Mm-hmm.
And...
That's funny.
And I'm very happy about having done that.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of thank you emails from people who say, you know... Thank you for introducing me. I would never have watched the show. I was on PBS, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't really believe you at first, but then, you know, you were so enthusiastic about it, et cetera.
Cameron, for you, I don't know, you guys don't have PBS in Chicago.
So I do know what Downton Abbey is.
Oh, okay.
But please describe it. I have not actually seen it.
Oh, because
I do things with my life.
This is like, if you could just use a Harry Carey metaphor for Cameron's benefit.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Chicago sports casting legend.
Put it in number
legend.
Of three-peats. I want to hear the number of three-peats.
It's a Victorian show of there's the servants and then there's the upper class and there's so much struggle and unsaid.
But it's like a soap opera-y kind of a
like
intrigue.
It's Edwardian.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I called it Victorian.
Jordan,
I'm a jerk.
So there's
Less dropsy in this one.
There's been two...
some dropsy.
There's been two seasons of this show,
yes.
Right? Or series, as they're known in the UK. And I loved the first series. And I went to England to shoot Put This On a couple months ago. And while I was there, I was talking with our friend Colin Anderson, a BBC radio producer, and he had not watched it. But by then, the second series had not started here in the United States, so it had not yet achieved beloved cult television status, which it has since here. But it was a hit show in the UK. It was a hit show in the UK from the start. And so I was joking with him about it, and he was saying, you know, he saw it as, you know, the way that we would see, I don't know, The Sopranos or something like that. Except it's a little less classy than The Sopranos. And I was trying to explain to him, well, you know, it's something that nobody really watches because nobody really watched the first series. So, you know, we let it slide. And he's like, well, I've heard the second series isn't quite as good as the first series. It's a little soapier. And I was a couple episodes into the second series at the time. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's pretty good and maybe a little bit. About halfway through the second series of Downton Abbey, shit just goes completely insane. Just shit goes completely fucking...
That's when they introduce the alternate timeline.
They basically do introduce it.
That's when you find out they're on an island?
There is an episode that...
They flash sideways. Isn't that what they said? They did Lost, there's a flash sideways?
There is an episode that all but introduces an alternate timeline. I'm not gonna spill the beans.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I'm excited
to watch it, so don't...
I'm not going to spill the beans on what happens, but I will do this. I will say that I remember watching 6 Feet Under, back when 6 Feet Under was on television, and thinking, like, this is a pretty good show. It's a little bit flawed, but I think it could pull it together. And then at one point, there was this episode where... what was the dude from Dexter?
You know, Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, so that guy was so wonderful on 6 Feet Under. He's
yes,
a
he
very
was.
Gifted
Great
actor.
Character.
Just brilliant on that show. And then there was just this episode where, for no reason, out of nowhere, he got kidnapped and raped a bunch of times. And it was as though they had had a meeting in the story room and they had been like, well, we had Dwight from The Office come on. Obviously, this is before he was Dwight from The Office. And we weren't really sure what to do with that. We just had him go around and Dwight from The Office a little bit. It was completely off tone from the show. And then eventually we just had him not be on the show anymore. So maybe we should just have one of our guys get kidnapped and raped? Yeah, why not? You know? And then basically from then on, they're just like, every week we'll just think of some crazy shit to happen. Just some crazy fucking shit will happen.
Some jump the shark moments.
Just some shit will go down. And I don't understand why on these television programs, there just seems to be a point where they're just like, fuck it. Let's just have shit happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, is their fear of the show being boring that powerful that they're just like, you know what? Because in Downton Abbey, what happens towards the second half of the second series is just all of a sudden, literally 10 things start happening per episode. Like, there will be the one crazy episode happens.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the last three or so episodes of the second series, 10 crazy things happen. A crazy thing happens to every character on the show.
But I think the first season of Downton Abbey, they sustained an hour of pretty riveting drama on the fraudulent results of a flower show.
Right, which was what was so great about the show, right? I mean, that was what made it a good show.
Sure.
All right, I haven't seen the show, but let me suggest something that I think often happens with television shows. Like, a good example Alias. This happened with Alias. And
does this fall into the muscular woman category?
Yeah, so I've clearly seen that show.
Right.
I was going to cite the L word, but then I was like, no, I'll go with Alias. That's more relatable.
Yeah, we saw through your smoke screen.
Anyway, so shows will come on the air where you can tell the person who created them had this great initial concept,
but didn't imagine the entire arc.
Sure.
I've been watching a lot of Battlestar Galactica. Just the Starbuck parts. Now, hear me out. But now that I've just said Battlestar, yeah, actually,
that could have come out. Am I a ventriloquist?
Season really weird. Now that I've said that, just to make,
you know what, Cameron, if you want to just take five, we'll just do your bits from now on.
If you guys
can come fill in for me,
Starbuck
next time.
And I are the same gender, don't you know it?
If you guys just want to make fun of characters that are sort of like Natalie from Sports Night and me. I think Battlestar Galactica is another show where they seem to have sort of had a plan for a little while.
Yeah, then,
and they're just like, ah, fuck it. Let's just have some different shit happen.
It just seems like they come on the scene with like, this is the great initial concept, but there's no parking spot. There's no garage.
Right.
At the end.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of 3-point turns. They're looking for ages.
They're doing a lot of 3-point
turns. They're being directed in the Trader Joe's parking lot by somebody, you know, but they can't figure out how
to. It's a busy parking lot.
They pull in behind a guy. Mm-hmm. The lights are on. He's not backing up. Yeah. It's just somebody who left their lights on.
Right. Just wait. And then that
they're still in Trader Joe's.
Yeah, no, it's true. So I just feel like that's what's happened. What shows do not follow this formula?
Yeah,
that would be an easier thing to be. Yeah, I guess,
Wire.
Yeah, like The Wire, right.
The Wire there had a different context each season.
Well,
I think that would be how
genius,
they...
You know, that's why you want a genius grant or whatever.
Yeah.
Award? Grant? Award?
Yeah, it's a grant.
Grant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a grant. Well, it's an award that comes with a grant.
It's an award grant.
Well, there's Tremors, the TV series on the Sci-Fi Network.
Sure.
I mean, that had a very clear beginning, middle, and an end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the part about why they just start having a lot of different stuff happen.
I think it's just tough. I think that, you know, that it's just tough to because in TV when you pitch a show, you're not thinking about episode, you know, season 10, you're thinking about, oh God, I want to get a TV show on the air. Like,
you wouldn't believe how crazy it is. And then later you actually wouldn't believe how crazy
like
it is.
As a guy, the train's rolling too.
I think that's part of the problem.
Absolutely.
Right?
And as a guy, like as a guy who for the first time has a pilot that someone could potentially buy from him, like, oh fuck, I would not even begin to tell you what happens in season 3 of this show. I just want someone to pay me so I could work for a TV show, you know.
And that's in a comedy where in most situation comedies the basis of it is that it begins in one place, goes through a crisis, and then returns to stasis.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That it resolves back to zero so that you can start with anything you want in the next episode.
Yeah.
Listen, I know I'm not going to score big points. I'm just guessing I'm not going to score big points with you two on this, but I will tell you, I think a show that did it very well, back me up, listeners, Sex and the City. Sex and the City found an appropriate end. It changed tone a little bit in the middle. It started out kind of like a little bit VH1-y. Mm-hmm. There are some moments where in the first season, the characters directly address the camera. By the end of the show,
there's some parts
and beautiful, and so it doesn't look the same.
There's a lot of parts where Paul Scheer is making comments about stuff.
VH20. Yes. Yeah, it's a little VH20.
And you're right. You probably won't get us to back you up.
You don't have to back me up, but I'm just.
I would like to hear it from you. Maybe the movies aside, you felt like Sex and the City was a journey that wrapped up in a satisfying way.
I do. I also was just the right age where I was in college when that wrapped up, and all of my female friends would get together and like watch it together, mm-hmm. and cared about the characters, and most of the things they did made sense in a real life situation where you have an undeterminate amount of disposable income.
Gotcha.
As long as given that... Yes.
If then.
Yeah. Yeah. Given the fact that Carrie supposedly works as a freelance writer and has more Manola Blahniks and then casually says the price of her shoes constantly.
Right.
Given that, good show. Good arc. Good arc on that show.
Here's something that I heard recently. I started watching a few episodes of The X-Files on Netflix Instant, and this was a show that I did not watch as a kid. But just started to turn on some episodes out of curiosity and really started to have a good time with it. It's a lot of fun. But our friend Kumail Nanjiani recently went on a tirade about how it's the most disappointing ending of all times, and he hates it. So I'm wondering whether I should continue or not. Am I just setting myself up for crushing disappointment?
Justin, the intern, has a strong
you
opinion
have a
about
face.
This.
You're making a face.
After season five.
He says stop after season five. Is that when Mulder or Scully leaves?
No, they move. Well, this might be my own personal bias. They move from Vancouver to Los Angeles.
He's just upset that they move.
Wait, but
they move production.
So there's not enough. So you see less poutine in
the
shots.
Of the show also goes.
He's upset that they moved the location away from his childhood.
But that's also funny
that
because you just moved from Vancouver to Los Angeles.
Yes, but
so
I'm
think
also
about that.
Rapidly decreasing.
Oh my God, that's what I was wondering.
You're getting worse. Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Justin, you're fired. That's number one.
Yeah.
Go back to Canada. You're not wanted here.
I wish I could watch.
I'm revoking your visa.
Things.
It is a little bit scary.
I can't deal with like there's a creature that lives in the sewer and has like no eyes or something.
Yeah.
That's a
sightless creatures have a
forget it.
Yeah.
Forget I can
no
hardly
mole
watch
monsters.
Buffy. The Vampire Slayer, and as you know, as a lesbian, I'm supposed to, so it's really upsetting.
That's right. Yeah, you have to watch a certain amount of year. It's like staying in SAG. You have to work a certain amount
That's
of hours.
Right.
To
yeah,
stay
yeah.
in the Lesbian
mm-hmm.
Guild,
mm-hmm.
you have to watch...
A lot of Allison Hannigan. Real heavy on the Hannigan.
Yeah, heavy on Hannigan.
So she's in the
H-O-H.
Lesbian community, she's a fixture?
Well, she was a gay witch on that show.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I find her adorable. In my own personal straight community, in my brain and penis.
Oh my God, what's that? Tell me about it.
We have a lot of parades.
Yeah.
We're a very proud community.
What do you feel like you have to keep up on?
They enjoy that community enjoys standing at attention.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of flag ceremonies.
Yeah. Yeah, you base a flag.
Yeah, we base a flag and then some Marines have to come and fold it.
Yeah.
Am I still talking about my penis?
I've seen that a lot.
I think
I've
I am.
That. Well, don't. Ask, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're a very proud community. Our interests are mainly Allison Hannigan,
mm-hmm.
Christina Hendricks, other famous redheads.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What are the other famous redheads? Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit. Yes, we have watch a lot of cartoon
porn. It's the three of those I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it.
And the strange European woman of indeterminate origin from Transporter 3.
Sure, yeah.
She's great. She's good
run,
in everything.
Lola, Run.
Yeah, sure.
The movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mila Jovovich is often the master of ceremonies.
Oh my God, she is the master of everything.
So yeah. Am I still talking about my dick?
Uh-huh.
I think so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sweet.
I mean,
it sounds fun. Anyway, so I just want to let people know. It doesn't get... it does. I just don't want people to be like, well, why didn't Jesse tell me about... Because I feel so personal. So I get so many emails about this that I know people personally, like, they trust me on this one. And I just wanted to let people know that I'm aware of the issue and I'm working to resolve it.
Are you going to you're gonna stick with it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a total disaster. It's just...
Yeah, I feel like I love those characters so much to the point where even if the plotting went a little bit off the rails, I would just enjoy spending time with them.
Here's the thing. Like, I have such a hard time with television drama, with the arbitrariness of television drama, that I might lose track of it. I mean, I really just have a hard time watching television drama for that very reason. I just... When arbitrary stuff starts happening, I just get upset and stop wanting to watch it. Like, and so I might end up checking out, but I'm not for now. I mean, they're holding on to me for now because I am very invested in the characters, but there's stuff happening.
It sounds like you're, through this podcast, you're issuing PBS an ultimatum.
Well, I'm...
Are you saying put up or shut up?
Technically, I'm issuing it to Julian Fellows and Sky TV. PBS is not the commissioning organization. They're simply a licensee.
Fair enough.
So, but this series or this season has already been filmed.
So yeah, and so is the Christmas special.
Yeah.
And they've added Shirley MacLaine, from what I understand.
For season three. Yeah, I mean, she was great in The Apartment.
Absolutely.
She's a good crystal salesman, also, if you...
You're right. She did sell crystals.
Yeah.
So there's 2 points in her favor. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I hope that they'll... I just want them to know that they don't have to have all of the things happen in every episode. They can just have a couple of things happen in every episode and I'll be sad and I'll be satisfied. They can have... They can, seriously.
They can go. They can just go back to the flower show.
If they want to have...
Were the results fraudulent? They'll ask.
They can have two stories in a 60-minute episode. That's enough for me. They don't need to have nine stories.
Well, I mean, maybe it's just an issue of kind of filling the time. Maybe they can have two
stories.
Yeah,
they got to fill those 6 hours a year.
And then more, and then they can add more loaded glances.
Yeah.
Are you saying just maybe this?
What about the smoldering glances, though?
Some smoldering glances? More glances, I think.
I think one disappointment is that Mary has been a little bit angrier and a little less smoldering lately. Mm-hmm. I can't talk about plot details again because I don't want to ruin anything for anyone. And so I guess there's been a little less smoldering going on within... She's been transferring a little less
smoldering
through the screen to me.
Actualized in this show? I mean, if it is it...
You don't need it to be.
Are we seeing a little... Are we seeing... I guess my question is, how British is it?
How much peen do you see? Is that what you're asking?
On a scale of one to British. No, I mean, like,
do they show any schlong? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, I'm not interested unless
they do. Is this a schlong schlower?
Just from a sociological perspective.
Listen, if you're looking for a TV drama with a lot of schlong, you're going to want to watch Spartacus Blood and Sand on the Starz Network.
And all the Starbuck parts from... No, really? Is that true?
Okay. Well,
I was recently reading about
this
show. I haven't seen it.
I actually watched the whole of Spartacus Blood and Sand that is available on Netflix Instant.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jesus,
Here's
Jordan.
What's going on Spartacus Blood and Sand.
Jordan.
What?
You're what's wrong with America.
It's a ridiculous show, but it's a lot of fun. Have you watched any of it? It's not a terrible show.
You're why Party Down got canceled.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because I retroactively watched Spartacus on Starz. It's not an... I mean, it's along the lines of like a, you know... I'm trying to think of something that it's akin to quality-wise. Got a lot of shouting.
Really
a lot
long
of nudity.
300. Like a really long 300?
Like a... Yeah, like a really long 300. Like a True Blood. And I know that's kind of a shitty show, but it's fun in the same way that show's fun. You're having a lot of nude Xena in Spartacus, and you're having a lot of muscular men having nude arguments with each other.
Xena...
The warrior princess.
Yeah.
The character of Xena the Warrior Princess?
The actress. It's in an alternate
You're
universe.
You're telling me that there's a Lucy Lawless in this show?
Did you not get this in your lesbian e-newsletter?
Guys, I don't know what I've been doing. Well, I haven't been returning my lesbian mail. I've only been using my regular
email. Oh, yeah. Do you have it? Oh, okay.
Since
you're visiting LA, you probably put your lesbian mail on hold.
Yeah,
vacation hold.
Yeah, I do put that on hold. It just goes into a giant bra.
Yeah.
Or a giant not bra.
Right. Yeah, depending on...
A giant sarong.
Cultural. Yeah.
Sarong? Yeah.
A giant armpit hair?
Yeah.
That work? All right.
No,
I don't
why
know
not?
Lucy Lawless is it. She's a... Speaking of Battlestar Galactica, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was on that.
She is a real striking lady.
Yeah, she's Australian.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just sitting around talking chicks, huh,
she's
bros?
Tough.
Hey, dude, you guys want to pound some brews later?
Sure.
Woo! We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Cameron Esposito here.
You're sending a text message, Cameron.
I'm getting picked up. I didn't drive over here, so I'm telling you where I am.
Whatever.
I'm sorry about it.
Whatever.
Well,
okay.
She's arranging
here?
For
Do you want me to live here?
Yes, I do want you
okay,
to live
well,
here.
You, just
you
have
seem
to ask.
Like a fun lady.
Just ask me to live
You're
here.
A fun lady.
I didn't mean to
okay.
imply I don't want to live here.
Let's talk about, first of all, makepixelart.com.
We should.
Because they're the best.
Sure. They're amazing.
The best place for making pixel art is makepixelart.com.
And they have an app.
Woo.
Now let's talk about Stack
Soap.
Thanks
for taking that one
was
home.
Did you guys think?
That was great.
That was
All
great.
Right. Well, I'm a bit of a musician.
It was really good.
It shows.
Stack Soap. Carol. I mean, not Carol. Cameron.
But what if my name was Carol? God, I would be such a different person.
Yeah, you would be. You'd be a lot more pleasant to hang around, I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. Old-timey, too. Kind of old-timey.
Cameron, sure. I know you have a lot of problems with slivers of soap. what happens is you get to that last sliver, and of course it's convex.
I mean, you don't have to describe this to me. I've said this to you so many times.
You want
to
save it, and your bar of soap, what shape is that? It's also convex. So you want to mush them together. What happens? There's only one point of contact, because that's the nature of these things. Uh-huh. They're two convex surfaces. They're only going to come together in this one tiny place. If only there was a soap that had a concave surface, so that when your bar got down to a sliver, you could take a fresh bar out and a beautiful concave surface, and you could push that sliver into that concave surface. It would fit perfectly and create a perfectly beautiful round new bar, thus eliminating soap waste.
It's like a soap Lego.
I wish there was such a thing.
Here's my concern.
Yeah.
With this product.
Right.
Which is, what's the...
Stack soap.
Stack soap. Here's my concern with stack soap.
Right.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Innovative.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What if the last sliver of your stack soap is the concave part, and then you put it on the concave part of your new bar of stack soap, mm-hmm. if you put the concave part on top of the other concave part, does that create a black hole?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's one of the advantages.
Are you talking about like a singularity?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, where machines become smarter than us and then a black hole uh-huh. crushes Malcolm Gladwell.
That's right. Why they're so popular among supervillains and despots.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it has a...
Are you a power-mad South American dictator? Do you want to have a black hole to keep the U.S. and Israel in line?
It has a Kickstarter at stacksoap.com where you can kick some money in. You can get some of this stack soap. Nothing on the Jumbotron this week, but if you want to get up on the Jumbotron next week, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. It's cheap. It's easy. Couple $100. We will share your message, be it personal or commercial, right here on Jordan Jesse Go. If you want to sponsor Jordan Jesse Go on a continuing basis, email our development director, Teresa@MaximumFun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Cameron Esposito right here.
We've got some momentous occasions if you guys want to.
Jordan, Jesse, it's me, Elizabeth, in Oregon. I'm calling with a momentous occasion.
Hey, Elizabeth!
Hi! We know you, apparently. Do we?
I don't know.
She sounds nice.
I love what she said.
Yeah.
I liked her. That's great. She won me already.
Yeah. In fact, I want to hear it again. I'm so excited about it.
That was a lot of fun. I like the
familiarity. Jordan, Jesse, it's me, Elizabeth, in Oregon. I'm calling with a momentous occasion. I was just hiking in the woods with my dogs, and we emerged from the woods overlooking a pond, and two beautiful ducks immediately took flight up over the pond, and then I followed them with my eyes, and then I saw at the edge of the woods across the way a coyote looking right at me, and we stared at each other for a second, and then it turned and went off into its woods, and I turned and went off into my woods, and it was fucking magical. Nature, am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Wow, that was high. I liked how that was high energy. I could feel the adrenaline in the call.
I like that she and the coyote had separate woods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that she lives in the woods.
Yeah.
That's why she's so excited about this fucking coyote and these fucking ducks.
Yeah.
That's why you put the fucking phone number 206-9844-FUN in your cell phone. Mm. Because when shit goes down, we want to get it in the moment.
Those ducks, man. She follows
in the future, if you come across another coyote or any wild dog, you're going to want to make makeshift claws for yourself
by breaking
glass and taping them to your hand.
You sure are. But don't let us see what happens.
No, please don't let us see what happens. Let us see the most awesome part of the movie.
That's
the only reason we came to that stupid movie in the first place. It wasn't stupid. It was good. I liked it.
I would like a psychological thriller.
I would have liked to see the wolf fight.
I liked that they kept looking directly at the camera and saying, this is an allegory. You know that, right?
Yes, exactly.
None of this is actually happening.
This is allegorical.
This is Al Gore writing the script.
Well, it was about Jordan, nature.
It was about global... Global warming is what caused all those wolves to attack.
That is a global warming plane
crash. Liam Neeson and his vaguely ethnic friends.
David from Milwaukee. Momentous Occasion was just dropping off a movie at Blockbuster, which is already kind of charmingly anachronistic, just as it was opening today. And there was.
Can I just say that the best thing about Blockbuster is, and I don't mean to cut this guy off, but the best thing about Blockbuster is every Blockbuster that goes out of business.
It says, this location only.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, nope, Blockbuster. It is not this location only. Yeah. It is everyone in 10 miles of here.
Yeah, many Blockbusters are going out of business. Many,
I wish more Blockbusters were exploded and then immediately replaced by a red box. Just visually.
A huge red box that you could go inside. Yeah, like the biggest, and had a lot of people at work there.
That's right.
Is Redbox lesbian slang for something?
Not.
Just wanted to check it. Just to make sure.
I mean, I don't.
Just
that's what you guys call Allison Hannigan, right?
Well, yeah. Oh, I didn't know if you meant outside of Allison Hannigan.
Just as it was opening today, and there was probably a 75-year-old man in a big overcoat and a huge furry hat. The second they open the door, he just runs up to the restaurant and says, hey, you got that rum diary? Apparently, 75-year-old men who look semi-homeless are huge Johnny Depp fans. Didn't know this. Have a great one.
That's fun.
That's good.
He's looking for a rum diary.
Got that rum diary?
Hey.
But he meant like an actual rum diary. Like he.
You guys sell booze, right?
Yeah. He thought he was talking about a movie. It sounded like a cry for help, maybe.
Yeah.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guest. This is Josh out in Seattle. I'm calling in with a momentous occasion. I am a soon-to-be transgendered woman, and I just took my first dose of lady pills.
That's awesome.
On the way home from the pharmacy, I saw a man wearing a very nice three-piece suit gliding down the sidewalk on Heelys. Pretty magical. All right. Love the show. Thanks.
A life-changing moment and then a life-changing moment.
Boom, boom. Yeah. Left, right.
Yeah.
Which one is more significant? It's really impossible to say.
It is.
First you go to the body, then you go to the head. That's how you take them down.
Yeah.
1-2 punch.
Do you think they make a Heely for formal wear? Like when you're wearing a suit, do they make a wingtip Heely?
Or like a black tie Heely? Like patent? Maybe. Like a black patent or an evening pump Heely? I would like to have an evening pump Heely. You know, I'm a big supporter of the wearing of evening pumps, which is a type of black tie shoe that is a slip-on with a grosgrain bow on it. I think it looks a lot better than a black patent leather shoe, which I think always tends to look like you're going to the prom. And this is like
or to your Madrigals performance.
Yeah, exactly. Like. This is a little bit...
Man,
I got excited about it.
You just got excited because you thought you might be going to see Al Madrigal.
Al Madrigal. Yeah. Coming. He's
There's more than one of him.
No, my sister was a Madrigal singer. I was trying to describe this to somebody yesterday.
Yeah.
They didn't believe me this was a thing. I was like, they wore outfits.
Yeah, you were a little tux.
There was holding of...
Sure.
You hold your own hand. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It's like school choir.
Yeah.
So this this type of shoe, it's called an opera pump or an evening slipper. It's like a one piece slip on shoe, like a loafer, but it's a hole cut. You know, there's no seam around the toe. It's for a gentleman.
It's called an opera pump.
Yeah,
that is a great name for a gentleman's shoe.
Well, this is the oldest gentleman's shoe that there is. This this type of shoe has been being worn by men continuously since the 17th century or something like that. This is like the kind of shoe that you would have worn with. Fucking pantaloons if you were Louis Couture or something like that.
So still relevant.
Yeah, still relevant today. And it looks, the thing is, when you're wearing a tuxedo, it looks fucking tremendous.
Yeah.
If you look at it, like just at a store or something, you think, oh, that looks like a lady shoe. And so this is a constant fight I have on Put This On, is people are like, hey, I ain't wearing a homo shoe. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, no.
Why are they reading a men's fashion blog but worried about looking like a hobo?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is... yes. Sure. Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
I'm not saying that your stuff is homo-y. I'm just saying that if you're looking at a men's fashion blog, you should like fashion, right?
Yeah.
Why are you some weird... enthusiastic dude. Anyway.
Seems weird to have a falling off there.
Yeah. It seems weird that there would be a line in the sand
pretty
that you draw.
Cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, hey, I ain't no fag.
Yeah.
You're like, well, no, you definitely are.
That's like, well, that's like saying,
like, if you're gonna, we're gonna get into who is and who isn't a fag,
yeah,
and it's not about wanting to do it with dudes, then yes, you are.
Well, I think that's like going to a bar and saying, like, whoa, you brought me a daiquiri, I ordered a pomegranate martini.
Yeah.
Please.
I also think that that can go ahead and stop happening. Guys,
yeah,
guys can go ahead and stop saying that. Because the thing is, we'll know. If you are.
Yeah, because
like
you'll be the one with the dick in your mouth.
Yeah, you'll just be married to a man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
So it'll be...
You'll be the one who's like, hey, that guy's hot.
Yeah, right. You'll be the one who lives in West Hollywood and makes a lot. Like,
okay.
You'll just be really clear.
So yeah, anyway, but even irrespective of the heterosexual, homosexual, if you want to talk about it in terms of gender continuum... I don't think it is a feminine shoe when worn. I think it's actually very elegant when worn. But I can see when you see it in and of itself, you're like, oh, that looks like a lady's shoe. So that's the issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do these eBay roundups for Put This On, where I find I find stuff on eBay, and we do a post on Put This On twice a week, where we post stuff that we think is really cool that's on eBay. That's, you know, from whatever, brands you've never heard of, or, you know, weird, you know, Savile Row houses and stuff like that, you know, rare artisanal stuff and stuff that you would have to work really hard to find on eBay if we weren't making a list of it, right? And when I find evening slippers, because they're sort of a special thing, they're only made by people who make really expensive shoes. And so if you want to buy them, you have to go to an expensive shoemaker, and they will end up costing $500 or $600. So when I see them on eBay, when I catch them, you know, usually people who are selling them, they don't know what they are, so they don't know what to call them, so they're hard to search for on eBay. So if I see one, I'll put it in the roundup, right? Because I know people... A lot of people like to have a tuxedo on hand in case they have to go to a black tie thing, and they might want the more elegant footwear option. They'd rather pay $100 for it on eBay than $500 in the store. So I found this one pair. When I find them, I usually put them in the thing. I found this one pair, and it said men's evening shoe. And I was like, oh. I saw it. I was like, oh, there's a pair of opera pumps. That's great. I'll put it in the roundup. And then the sub-headline was... Sissy boy, adult baby.
They were for a fetish.
But then
fetish wear for that.
So here's the thing. I looked at the person's other options. I'm like, I got to find out if this is a person that specializes in sissy boy and adult baby stuff.
Yeah.
Or if this is just a person who found these shoes, thought, hey, I don't know who wears these. I guess sissy boys and adult babies. I got to put those in the descriptor.
Right.
Or else the sissy boys and adult babies ain't going to be able to find this thing.
Right.
And the guy's also selling giant clothespins.
But this was...
Big head bonnet.
This was a total outlier. They were selling miscellaneous stuff. It was not a fetish-themed seller.
So a lot of, like, duck lamps.
Just miscellaneous crap. Just a person who just sells miscellaneous crap on eBay. They just saw these shoes and they figured, you know how I'm going to unload these things? Adult babies and sissy boys.
So they expect you're going to wear that with a sailor suit.
Like a little lollipop.
Like a JFK Jr. saluting.
Yeah, like a giant lolly. Yeah, I think you're going to... They think you're going to wear it with a giant lolly.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess there are, like, you know, fans of old-time fashion. But, I mean, are they more ravenous than the fans, than, like, guys who need it to get off? You know? I mean, who's going to put down the most money?
But here's the thing. I don't think that the guys who need it to get off I don't think this is what they're looking for.
Yeah.
You were saying it was mislabeled. Did you write that person a inappropriate note?
I wondered what I should do about it. I just put it in the roundup. I mean, here's my concern.
I mean, there could be some overlap between people.
Wasn't sure what to do about it. I wasn't sure what the appropriate course of action was.
So the thing is that sometimes a Cary Grant look can be mistaken for an adult baby look, is what you're saying.
Right.
If it's not John Wayne.
It was very Cary Grant.
Baby.
It's a very Cary Grant aesthetic, and it turns out to be a Baby Huey type situation.
Sure.
Ah, baby with a C guy.
I mean, have you just thought about including more sissy boy adult baby stuff in your eBay roundup?
I probably should put more sissy boy and adult baby stuff in there. Like, that's a good idea.
You know, like a wig with ringlet curls.
Sure.
Like a boy blue sort of a...
Yeah.
Like a staff, like an oversized sort of shepherding staff?
Sure, a shepherd's crook.
Well, I mean, it's not...
Lil wooden sailboat.
I mean, how far is it from vintage peacoat to sailor suit, right?
No, I guess it's not a lot.
I mean, all you got to do is you put those pants with the buttons on the front. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, them sailor pants with the buttons
exactly
on the front.
I was lost in my own head thinking about that person. So if that's true and that person just, you know.
This person was selling seriously books and lamps.
A randomized. So what's cool about that is that we live in a world where that person is aware of the idea that there might be a sissy boy adult baby subculture. And that's a positive thing. I think that is a very.
Sure.
It's a democratic, it's a new
You're
day.
Like, hey. It's not my thing.
No.
But.
Very Dan Savage. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like super,
sure. No, I think you're right.
Super
I think,
sex
yeah, maybe
positive.
This is.
Super sex. I would read it as sex positive.
Right. Yeah. Am I shooting myself in the foot with these guys that are concerned they may look like a lady if they wear these shoes that I have just put up a thing that says that they that may imply that they'll look like a sissy boy adult baby if they wear these shoes?
Although, you know, if you look in that guy's other eBay auctions, there's a first edition. First printing of John Grisham's The Firm, and underneath it says, "Step on my balls with high heels."
Monster women.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll be back.
Squish eggs with bare feet.
We'll be back in just a second. Jordan, Jesse, Go. Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Cameron Esposito. That's me.
It's been a real blast to have you on the program, Cameron.
I always feel like I should say something after my name.
Well, you can.
Yeah, it's a tradition.
Yeah.
So, you've been doing good.
Yeah, you've been saying
side
different stuff.
Side mulleteer.
Side mulleteer.
Yeah.
Great.
You have a bit of a side mullet.
A big one, yeah. No. Well, I mean, like an average size probably.
That's like a standard side mullet.
Standard.
They're usually about that length.
Yeah, they are.
Cameron, it has really been fun to have you on the program.
I love talking with you guys. Yeah.
Isn't it fun?
People across America, of course, can enjoy your stand-up comedy as your touring stand-up comic. If they live in Chicago, of course, they can see you have a regular show in Chicago, right?
I do. That's actually on hiatus right now, but you can check out Cameron Esposito. You know why? Because I'm here. That's why.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Kicking it with us.
So I'll be back in Chicago in March, and I'll be doing some stuff there.
Well,
then.
It's almost March already. So go to CameronEsposito.com.
That's right.
ESPOSITO.
Nailing it.
Or follow you on Twitter at Cameron Esposito.
Yeah.
And you can find out what's up with CE. What's up with your girl, CE? If there's any hot, tough chicks out there.
I'll always keep you abreast.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
In.
Boobs.
Oh.
Oh, guys.
Jordan, you're going to be gone next week.
Yeah, I am. So
luckily, I got one Mr. Nick Adams to fill in.
It's going
to
be fun for the listener.
Holy shit, I got to pick a tweet of the week, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Traditionally, Cameron, just so you know, the tradition is that I have forgotten to pick a tweet of the week, and so Jordan and you, the guest, have to fill time while
we're
I pick something.
Some small talk. Oh, so, yeah. Cameron, are you gonna eat dinner after this? Or are you gonna
probably gonna get some? If I can find any pizza or like something that looks like a pizza, just some sort of like a melted cheese. Even a taco
do you
is
have
kind
a,
of a pizza.
Yeah, it is a little bit like a south of the border pizza.
Yeah.
Do you have loyalty to Chicago-style pizza?
No, I hate deep dish pizza.
Oh, interesting.
It's terrible, and
it's
only
like
makes you
cake.
Feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst food.
Okay.
Of
oh,
all
wow.
the foods. Yeah, I
so
don't
you're
like
glad
it at
to
all.
Be away from that nonsense.
Get it out of here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they don't really have too much deep dish pizza. It would be like, it would be like if I came here and I just constantly wore a lot of board shorts.
Sure.
You know, like if I wore board shorts to meetings and just board shorts to get my coffee.
Yeah. To get your side mullet detailed.
My cold press.
Yeah.
That's a thing that exists out here. People are really excited about. In
Chicago, I don't know what a cold press is.
We don't have fancy coffee. We don't have fancy enough coffee.
Yeah.
Compared to what's happening here.
You guys just drink a warm cup of blue cheese dressing.
We drink a warm cup of blue cheese dressing that's been dropped into a deep dish pizza. Kind of like a, oh, like a Jaeger bomb.
Yeah, sure. Like a an Irish car bomb, something like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you guys just slam one of those
it's
in the morning.
Called a Mayor Daily. Yeah. And they're not renaming it for the new mayor, you know.
Because
who cares about him?
Yeah, I know.
And you're driving to New York.
Yeah,
are you
going
to stop in my city?
I'm not going to stop in Chicago.
What are you doing instead of Chicago? How are you guys?
Philadelphia.
That's that's
almost
way
Chicago?
Further east.
Yeah, that's our.
Where in the hand?
We're going like from. So the listeners know, I think when you're hearing this, I'm going to be in the middle of filming this road trip web series. And yes, I will be going from Austin to Philadelphia. That's we're skipping a lot of America.
That is so upsetting.
I'm sorry.
That's my whole.
I did not plan the route.
Yeah. Well, let them know.
I will let them know.
Philadelphia's great, though.
Philadelphia's neat. Oh yeah. Yeah. Sure. Liberty Bell.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin Museum.
Right. Cheesesteak. We're just now at Rocky.
Rocky. Tasty cakes.
Yep. Uh huh. Art museum with the Rocky Stairs.
Have you, and you're in being a stand-up comedian, have you ever had to drive a long distance for a gig?
For sure, yeah.
Oh, and I guess as a circus performer, too, you mentioned there's a van involved.
There is a van involved.
What's the longest you've driven?
Well, we drove, in the circus van, we drove from Chicago to L.A. and then up to Seattle and then back to Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So that was a pretty big trip.
Yeah. Because
that's all of America, pretty much. But I also went to school in Boston and I drove that a lot. Chicago to Boston.
Okay.
That's 17 hours.
Yeah.
And I would drive that.
That's significant. Yeah.
I don't know who at Rich Priority is, but he just wrote Stronger Than Ever Despite the Setbacks and Recent Tragedy and hashtagged it JJGo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sincere tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But More Powerful Than Ever, 2012,
sure.
Going Ape. That's our theme. I'm sticking with it. God bless you. Way to go. And I also want to thank, we are just continuing to get a fucking amazing artwork with our 2012 theme. You have until the end of the month, so you can make them anytime. At the end of the month, we're going to give out an Xbox. We'll announce it probably on next week's program. So keep putting those up on our Facebook page. Just search for Jordan Jesse Go on Facebook. And even if you're not going to make something, go take a look at all these songs and videos and pictures people have made on this More Powerful Than Ever theme. It is tremendous.
Yeah, I saw some of that stuff, actually. It looks pretty darn...
These people are very creative.
Dedicated. What a dedicated and competent fan base.
These are talented people.
They are competent.
Competent.
Hey, guys.
You know?
Thanks for being so confident. Yeah.
It's almost like you could imagine them meeting a pomegranate at their desk.
Yeah. With a terrifying look in
Industrious.
Their eyes.
We'll talk to you next time, huh? Next week?
I'll see you guys next week. I've taken over.
You live
show.
Here now, right?
I live here at this house.
I'm Jordan Jessica.
Hi, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
We're three brothers. It's not a coincidence. We have a show. It's called My Brother and Me. It's an advice show for the modern era. Sometimes we also take questions from the Yahoo Answer Service.
Hey, guys, how many push-ups does it take to look like a werewolf?
That's a fine question, Griffin. We'll answer that one and so much more, including questions from readers about love and navigating the waters of society. Subscribe in iTunes or get it online at MaximumFun.org.
We're brothers.
We're experts.
And we're sorry.